All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Oh look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't fight? Shit! I'll fucking take all you want!
Hello, mister. How are you?
How are you doing?
I am lovely, thank you.
That's good to know.
Well, you know, Kev is not here, so it's easy to be lovely.
That is true.
I get the pot shots in early. I don't wait.
No?
As you can hear, Kev is not here this week.
That is true. He's not here.
He is celebrating an anniversary or some such thing.
Good for him, I guess.
Hey, sure. You know, if he's happy and she's happy and
he's not here, we're happy.
He's not here, then we're
it's
happy.
It's all good.
So everybody's happy.
Everybody
hopefully
wins.
The listener is happy. We hope.
There may be a greater echo in this room than usual.
Yeah, well, you know.
Is that too soon?
He does absorb sound.
He does. He does. That's what the big comes from.
That's a fat joke, Kev.
Yep.
I don't think you're actually going to listen, so I feel comfortable saying that.
It's also true.
This is, of course, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, of course. Again, Big Kev not here.
Yep.
But we'll call it that anyway.
Sure.
It is episode 294.
Redo. That's what we're calling it.
That is what we're calling
it.
On
the road to 300.
On the road to 300. I need a bed. I've got to find some sort of oldie time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, maybe just like, what is it? What is the player? Is that the one that like...
Yeah,
that one.
The Entertainer? Is that what it's called?
Is it the player or is it the Entertainer?
I don't know.
I know it's a player piano. Maybe the Entertainer is the name of the
piece. Is the name of the song? I don't know. Ragtime, old school.
Yeah, ragtime, oldie school, older days.
You know where they put up the plates in the silent films? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like sepia crap, that kind of thing.
And with the text, we're gonna do an episode of just music, and the image gallery is just gonna be text of what we said.
Yeah, that'll be really entertaining for people.
No, I suggest we will lose all of our followers in a fell swoop.
That is exactly what'll happen. It's like Twitter, but with more photos.
There you go.
Instagram.
Could be an interesting experiment.
Yep.
Like Vine. You know, by the way,
can we talk about Vine?
Yeah, I don't get Vine.
I don't understand it either.
I don't. Everybody was like, yes, Vine.
We're going backwards. All right, we have Twitter, which is let's talk less.
Right.
Then we had Instagram, which is let's show people photos. Right. And now it's Vine, which is let's make bad videos. I don't understand it.
I mean,
I don't get it.
I have seen a handful of very creative ones.
That's true.
But I'm going to say that the creative ones are just so few and far between.
I think it's kind of like everything, though. If you're looking at YouTube, I mean, there's a couple creative things, a bunch of cats, and then a bunch of people reposting those creative things.
Yeah, except that at
except,
least... yeah. at least on YouTube, right? I feel like I could watch a fat kid swing a broom handle
right.
for 3 minutes
into a Diet Coke bottle with Cementos
right.
in it.
And right. I could get a laugh out of that, right? But just a guy like...
Hey, I'm here at a concert. And that's what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't understand that at all.
Or just, you know, like just 6 seconds of cars driving by.
Do you remember 5 second films?
I do remember 5 second films.
It's just 5 second films, but bad.
Yes.
That's really what it is.
It's atrocious, really.
I don't understand.
I mean, I guess for the porn aspect of it.
Well, you know, that's the other thing. Another service I understand least, Snapchat.
Yes.
Just send me a text.
Yes.
I don't get it.
Yeah, it's
very simple.
I don't know. I don't use the Snapchat very much.
I don't have it at all.
My wife uses it with her coworkers at work.
It's to like get away with sending things that you don't want people to see.
Yeah, and
it's like this message will self destruct right. in 3 seconds.
Because there is no record on Snapchat, right? Mm-hmm. Is that how it works? There's no record.
I think you can choose, hey, delete this as soon as they see it.
Right. Yeah, like as soon as it plays or whatever, it goes away. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't get Vine.
I also think Snapchat's a way to brag, but without bragging. Like, I showed you that I was doing something cool, but you can't keep it, so I'm not, like, bragging too much. I just want to let you know.
I think it's more about, like, here's my boobs, but I don't want you to keep them.
It's like sexting?
Yeah, yeah that's really, but like with no record.
Yeah, but you know what? Do it through iMessage or a Google Hangout or whatever. Let's be honest about this. Let's be open. If we're at that level.
But even with those...
I want to save that photo.
Yeah, right, but that's the point.
Theoretically, I'm just joking. Just joking.
Anyway,
yes.
Let's move forward.
Yes,
with the show.
Let's do that.
Let's go right into.
Let's do a redo. See what I did there?
I see it.
Puns. Geek
stuff. What's in the news? All right. So where do we start?
It's a good question.
Because there's a lot. There is a redo theme.
There is a redo theme. Let's start off with Man of Steel.
All right. Let's start off with Man of Steel. Now I'm going to preface this by saying that I have not seen Man of Steel.
But you've pretty much read the script with the amount of reviews that you've read.
Between the trailers and the reviews that I've read. I know exactly what happens. I know the reasons why everybody is complaining.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with some of them.
Sure.
I know the reasons why some people like it. I agree with some of them.
Yeah, you're very split on this issue, I can tell.
Well, yes, I am very split on this issue.
First thing we should say is spoiler.
Yes, spoiler.
I'm going to wait two seconds, and we're just going to spoiler. If you haven't seen it, you're about to hear it in words. So let's just give that a second. And we're back. All right. So my biggest thing about Man of Steel is clearly Goyer and Nolan sat in a room.
Right.
And they said, you know what? I think originally it was pitched back and forth. But anyway, Nolan pitched this and said, I have this idea. And for the first hour and 20 minutes of this movie, you can feel it. We're going to tell a story, and it's going to be about what makes someone American. What is it to be a hero? How do you hide your identity? And how do you make peace with who you are? It's this deep telling, as much as you want to complain about the mythos aren't exact and whatever.
Right, right.
It's this deep retelling of this story, which I'm totally on board with. The nonlinearness, is it a little ridiculous? Maybe. But I'm on board. And then it was like Nolan said, Zach, you have it from here, right? And Zach was like, yeah, totally. And he never finished Sucker Punch. Right. And that's what happened, which I think is one of the worst movies ever made. But it's really sad that they kind of abandoned this whole interesting idea for most of it, and then say, well, I have a budget. How do I blow up half a city for no reason?
Right.
Two Kryptonians fighting each other is my rationalization. Let's throw in a couple of wink nods with LexCorp trucks and Wayne Enterprise satellites. And otherwise, let's just get rid of the entire plot of the movie and make Superman do something he never, ever does.
Right.
And then at the end, let's hint at the fact that the whole point of Lois Lane not recognizing Superman is just gone.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like they had a good base of story and they said, Zack, you have it from here. And Zack Snyder is the problem with this movie. So if they were to redo it, they should fire Zack Snyder. That's just my personal opinion.
All right.
How I feel about that movie.
Now, aside from Sucker Punch, let me ask you this. Aside from Sucker Punch.
Are we going to talk about Watchmen now?
What are your thoughts on Zack Snyder?
I liked 300. I liked Watchmen. But here's the thing. This guy can clearly work from storyboards.
Right.
He literally does frame by frame from storyboards. So, of course, it looks epic. I'm sure he's a comic book fan. He's read a comic. He literally does frame by frame. In terms of his own creative work, see Sucker Punch.
Right.
So I haven't seen this guy do anything original.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Everything has literally been ripped from
something else. Even Dawn of the Dead.
Except for Sucker Punch, which is terrible.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know how I feel about this guy. He's visually interesting. I totally get that. But he's really just copying Frank Miller's art style or whoever else you're looking at. So, you know, he did some crazy over-the-top fanboyish fight scenes, but it doesn't fit with the rest of the movie.
Right.
And that's why 45 minutes of it are cities exploding for no reason, which doesn't really make any sense. Is it visually cool? Sure. Does it make sense that Superman would let this happen and the city suddenly empty and rebuilds in 30 seconds? No. So that's my real problem with the movie, where it falls apart. And I like how they were setting it up. I was really hopeful. Some good casting. I think Michael Shannon does a great job. I think Mark Hamill, right? Is that his, how you pronounce his name? That's not his name.
Mark Hamill is Luke Skywalker.
Yes, you're right. I am so sorry. That's what's on my mind also. Yes.
Henry Cavill,
whatever. Yeah. British dude. Really good too. Amy Adams does a great job. It's just then it just kind of falls.
Just kind of falls flat.
It really does. And fun to see. Definitely great in IMAX for the spectacle of it.
Right.
Clearly they're fast tracking a two. So that's coming out.
We'll talk about that in 1 second.
Yeah, but.
All right. So the interesting part of everything that you just said.
Sure. Right. I haven't read reviews for this, by the way. So okay. I don't know what's out
so there. Good. I'm glad that you haven't. Because the interesting part of what you just said, which is a very mixed, somewhat negative, but kind of positive review.
It's hopeful.
Is all of, or for the most part, the positive reviews I've read.
Okay.
Okay? So I haven't
read... So even
read,
the positive reviews are slightly negative.
I have not read a positive review that is just, you know...
Good.
That is just nothing but praise. That is just nothing but, like, sunshines and roses and unicorn poop. Nothing. It's just... It's either this kind of mediocre...
Right.
Well... I thought it had a potential, but this is where I had issues, or I fucking hated this movie. That's it. There's no real high, and there's no middle ground either, unless you're the kind of middle ground. But I'm not even sure that you are.
I don't know.
Because I'm trying to put you at the positive.
I like half of the movie for the most part.
Right. Okay. Yeah. It just seems like, I mean, and a lot of the people that are complaining, the biggest complaints seem to be mythos related, character related, and not so much the stuff that you discuss, because again, that seems to be stuff that people who like the movie are focusing on.
Well, I think if you're looking at it from a I'm loyal to Superman comic book standpoint, yeah, I don't follow Superman that much, but I can tell the things they changed. But I'm okay with that because we're in the movie universe now.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? We're in the movie universe. We want to see it maybe a little bit different or fleshed out differently. I think Krypton and all, whoever does the production design on this and the concept art was really great. But, you know... So I don't have a problem with that, understanding that it's a movie.
Right.
But
I still think one of the bigger issues, character-wise, that if you're able to make a valid argument for it without getting just finger-pointy and yelly about it, which I'm sure if Kevin was here, he would be yelly. Yeah, because
he would be pointing some fingers.
Yeah, because I know that he did not enjoy the film.
No, he didn't. He hated it a lot.
But I think... And I don't think that people should write this off as easily as they are, but I think fundamentally Superman was changed in this movie. What he stands for and what he does was changed. Now, you can either view that as a good thing or a bad thing.
What do you mean by that? Culminating in what he does at the end, or like the moral of Superman and what he is different?
Certainly Superman, in all likelihood in the books, would not kill Zod.
That's also,
or anybody.
Yes.
But... I actually have the least problem about that particular aspect of it.
Sure.
To me, that makes sense in the world of
a movie. I think the problem with it is that
is
supposed to be a really, really, really big deal.
Right.
That if this were done right and Zack Snyder left and Nolan finished the idea and then did a little more polish on it, it would be you care about these characters as opposed to them building them up and then just leaving them alone like paper mache dolls with nothing inside.
Right.
You were kind of like, that's a big moment because Superman doesn't kill.
Right.
And if you understand Superman, this is still sort of a big deal, but you're just yelling at them if you're a big Superman fan.
Right.
Because this is supposed to be, he can't figure out another way to do it. He wants to save the people that he loves, and it's not Kryptonians, it's Earth, and he's an American.
Right.
He needs to do this, and this is the only way. But it's just hollow because it's just a big fight scene where the city's exploding.
Right.
So if they did it with the right weight, I am okay with it. Although, as Kevin said, it's kind of like, you know, Batman picking up a machine gun at the end of the movie and just shooting the Joker in the face.
Right.
So it's a similar problem. But I think if they built it up right, it would have a lot of impact. Instead, it's Superman just snapping some guys' neck.
Right. See, again, I think the fact that he kills Zod is not a big deal to
fair,
me. It's how
enough.
He did it.
Yes.
Okay. Or the circumstances surrounding it.
Okay.
The other big thing that I've read a lot about, and again, so I have to take some of this with a grain of salt. Clearly, I haven't seen this with my own eyes.
But I'll correct you. Don't worry.
But he, from what I've read, he seems to be a bit reckless when it comes to human life. For example, in some other versions of him, animated, film,
Yeah.
So no one can say this hasn't been done on film before. Right. Animated film, and certainly in the book, Superman will go out of his way in the middle of a big fight to protect innocent people around him.
That is true.
Okay?
Yeah.
Apparently, that is not the case in
this
movie.
No, it doesn't happen.
Just people dying around him, buildings collapsing around, and he's just focused on the end goal. Which, again, to me, sounds very Snyder, action sequence, fighty oriented.
Exactly. So, it's also very, you know, Superman's youngish in this.
Right.
He just donned his suit. You know what I mean? He's just working out his identity. He's still, he just found out, think about his past and where he comes from and Krypton, and he's sort of seeing a hologram of his father kind of thing. You know, and now he's coming to terms with the fact that he realizes by the end of this, no, I really do. I am from Earth.
Right.
I am their protector. And that's what's so hard about him killing the last vestige of his planet. But they don't build it up that way.
Right.
So instead it's, yeah, you're right. Their buildings are collapsing. They're all vacant for some reason.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, there are just people dying and stuff.
Right.
And although there's a scene earlier where he's saving a bunch of people from an oil rig. So you know,
right. So there's some sort of balance. Yeah. I think at this point it is what it is.
Exactly.
Right. There's no go back. There's no going back.
Mm-hmm.
Two has already been greenlit.
Yep.
So
fast tracked.
And fast tracked. And we'll talk about that in just a split second.
Sorry. Yeah.
But it's going to depend who grabs the reins for the second movie and how they, if Superman in the second movie grows from the experiences in the first movie to become the Superman that we know,
we're good
and we
that.
Treat this as an origin story, which it is obviously, but
sure.
We treat this as a real growing moment. In the right hands, we could take all of these issues that we have with this movie and turn it into possibly something really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're at the point now where that's what we have to hope for. Because we just can't go back.
We got to stay positive. Full of hope, yeah. Just like Superman would be. I mean, I think Nolan is signed on in a less hands-on role.
Right.
And I don't think Snyder's on it.
No.
Which is great.
We're
hopeful, and we'll see it so soon that I'll let you know probably in a couple weeks.
Right, yeah, exactly.
But yeah, let's go into it, yeah.
So I've heard that it's being fast-tracked for possibly 2014.
That's
although, crazy. I don't think that's going to happen.
That's crazy.
That is physically impossible.
Unless Michael Bay does it and they reuse footage.
Yeah, right. Unless they were already filming, which I don't think is the case.
No.
2014 is not going to happen. 2015 is a possibility.
I don't know. Unless they're literally shooting right now and it's going to be like December 31st, 2014.
Right.
I don't see how they could do that.
Right. Well, I think here's my concern. Going back to what we just said. I think Warner Brothers is rushing it.
Unless there's already a script done. You have to see if Nolan pitched, or I don't know why I'm giving him all the credit, Goyer or whoever in the studio pitched a trilogy arc. And
they're
like, if this takes off, let's just do two, and the script's done. Then you don't know what could be happening right now.
Right.
But my guess is no. It made a lot of money, and they said, what do we do now?
I don't think, in my heart of hearts, that Warner Brothers invested an extra dime in this film until they saw how it did.
Yeah, probably.
It did well enough to green light going forward. But I can't imagine anybody was putting in any work on this movie until that happened. And we should say, by the way, I mean, I don't know how much you read into Rotten Tomatoes scores. But it's at like 56%, which is not very good.
It's also not terrible.
It's not terrible, although it's considered rotten on Rotten Tomatoes.
But Fast and the Furious 6 got a good review. So
yeah,
I
know. Exactly. And
don't worry, I won't go back there.
World War Z right now is at like 80% somehow. And that movie looks like the trend is like, man.
Just separate it from the book.
Yeah, well, clearly it's nothing like the book.
Yeah.
They've already established that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Goyer real quick and a comment that he made that kind of agitated me. Here's his comment. Man of Steel would be the starting point for introducing other characters and ultimately, obviously, Warner Brothers hopes there will be a Justice League film and perhaps you might start seeing other characters appearing in each other's films. I think in some ways they're interested in going in perhaps the opposite direction that Marvel has done, which may be to do a group film and then spin off from there.
It's too late. You've already done individual film.
Well,
so Man
no,
of,
you haven't already done individual films.
So Man of
films.
Steel.
Man of Steel is the only, right. But I think what they're saying is Man of Steel into Justice League versus Man of Steel, Flash.
Wonder Woman. Another Green Lantern.
Another Green Lantern.
Or not.
Justice League.
So they're going to go straight to Justice League.
Right, which, again, we're here. I read Fast Track on Man of Steel 2.
And they're doing the Batman already, right? The Batman movie?
I don't think that's been actually confirmed. I think that's still in the rumor mill.
Oh. I kind of remember some quote about they were going to be doing it 2 or 3 years after the Nolan trilogy ended.
Yeah,
anyway.
I think everybody's been assuming that, but I don't think anybody's officially greenlit it. There's no script. There's no director. There's no You know, I mean, you know what I mean? No one else is tied to it than the character of Batman. He's the only person that we know is confirmed.
Batman will be in the next Batman movie, everyone. That's it. Confirmed. You've heard it here first.
So I think that's a mistake. I think it's a mistake to ask us to become invested in characters, especially for the mainstream audience.
Right.
Who don't know Flash.
They're not going to.
Don't know Wonder Woman.
Yep.
Who, I mean, everybody kind of knows Wonder Woman, but don't really know Wonder Woman, who don't know Flash, who don't know Aquaman. I think you're asking a lot of the general public to invest in these characters and then spin off.
And I think, you know, the reason why Marvel worked is because each movie, although it had a different kind of feel to it, you cared about the characters. They made them human.
Right.
If you start Justice League and you don't do an assembling first, which would be pointless because that's a whole hour of the movie, I don't think there's any relatability to any of them
off the bat.
An Amazonian princess, there's no way people are buying that unless they're already comic book fans.
And not only that, but there's nothing for us to, or there's nothing for the film to build on. Even insofar as character relations inside the scope of the film.
Yeah.
You know who Tony Stark is going into Avengers. You know he is a billionaire playboy, smartass,
philanthropist,
egotistical philanthropist maniac, right?
Yep.
And you know exactly who Captain America is. He's the man lost in time. He's very innocent and naive.
Right.
He's got these powers, but he doesn't know what to do with them. And you know who Thor is. He's God. You know what I mean? So you already know how they're going to conflict.
And it's interesting to see that.
Right.
Exactly.
With this, we just have to assume. We have to assume they're putting a lot on the audience.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea for them to do Justice League first. I know they want it made. I really know they want to compete with Marvel, but if you're going to compete, do it the right way. If you're going to steal their blueprints, then steal the blueprints.
Right.
And hire a better architect. Exactly. You know what I mean? Exactly. Like, don't just be like, what if we do it this way? Clearly, it's not going to work.
No.
So I hope I don't see a Justice League movie before I see some other DC adaptations on the screen.
I agree 100%.
We'll see.
All right. Redos. Let's talk about Xbox. Because that's the big one. That's the other big one.
So, you know, we talked about this a lot. E3 was last week. There hasn't been much news. I mean, they showed up on Jimmy Fallon and tried to get everybody involved and look at all these new games and Knack and Rise and all the other stuff. We didn't tablet integration and stuff that I'm like to see, The Division, all that stuff. But basically, Microsoft kind of backpedaled a little bit.
Yeah.
And hopefully they're going to do it louder because, you know, I think this is exciting news for a lot of people. So basically, Sony has just come out. And said and confirmed the rumor that we've all heard, which is, guess what? They're just kidding.
Right. Oh, you mean Microsoft, not Sony.
I meant that.
Yes. Yes, they're just kidding.
I apologize. And Microsoft came out and said, just kidding. You know, we had so much excitement and we really like our product. And by the way, really, you only need the internet one time to set it up.
Right.
Do whatever you want with the games. Do whatever you want. There's no DRM. Sorry about that. And pretty much everything else you didn't like is gone. So now... buy an Xbox. We kind of knew they were going to do this. On one hand, it's like, why would they even do this if they knew all their fans would get upset and want them to take it down? On the other hand, I'm glad they didn't just stick to their guns.
Right.
And say, you know what, guys? You're right. It's an exciting console. We really are leaving out a lot of people. Let's make it right.
I think if you step back and look at it and read between the lines, first of all, the CEO or the chief developer or whatever the hell his name is a complete douchebag. That comment that he made last week before this announcement, the one where he said, if you don't have the internet, just go buy a 360. That guy?
I didn't even hear that comment. No.
Yeah. Two days after we recorded the show. It was like that Friday, or it might have even been the Monday. His comment was pretty... I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it in front of me, but it's almost directly, if you don't have internet... buy a 360.
That's like the guy, that was like the big Twitter thing before that, where it's like, what if I live in Kansas? He's like, well, why the fuck would you live in Kansas?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. But they did exactly what we said they would do. I don't know if I brought it up on the show or I've just talked about it so much with other people, but quote, since unveiling our plans for Xbox One, my team and I have heard directly from many of you, read your comments, and listened to your feedback. I would like to take the opportunity today to thank you for your assistance in helping us to reshape the future of Xbox One, end quote. And that comes from, what's his name, Don Matrick, who was the president of Interactive Entertainment at Microsoft.
Okay.
So basically, thanks so much for yelling at us. We're actually taking your feedback in consideration. This is what we've done for you, the fans.
Now, I don't.
Which is an interesting way to redo or undo. What they tried to do.
And I don't believe that for a second. I think what happened was...
backlash.
I think Microsoft and Xbox One fully, 100%, and wholeheartedly expected Sony to follow suit. And when Sony didn't follow suit, because even the populace thought Sony was going to follow suit. Up until the point that Sony made the announcement, everybody was talking about how, I don't know why you're complaining, Sony's going to end up doing the same thing. Right. DRM, I think they fully expected that Sony was on board. And when Sony was like, yeah, no, no.
You think, so I'm just imagining this like play out warlike. Microsoft's like, listen, because let's be honest, there as much as there are terrible negative stuff to this, people in the military, people in deep sea missions, people who don't have great internet, whatever, you know, they would just want to play their single player game, take your Xbox to a hotel. I don't want to deal with DRM, none of those benefits, but fine. But the positive is most stuff's going to go digital pretty soon. And to have a play it wherever you want by your account thing, like Steam or like iTunes, I know there are differences. Please don't.
Right.
They were trying to like push people into the future head first, which nobody wanted. And they thought, well, Sony's going to be on board with us, is what you're saying.
Right.
Sony hears Microsoft's announcement and then reads, you know, the forums, Reddit, whatever, and says, oh, no.
No.
This is a good idea. Let's shoot this 30-second ad on how to trade game. And the public goes crazy. Microsoft goes, how do we backpedal gracefully?
Yeah.
And they decide, never mind, let's just be honest and say, whoops, thanks for your feedback, we kind of screwed up.
That's what I think.
And you know what? I bet you everyone's going to buy an Xbox and a PS4 if they can. I think this is going to help them out.
All right. I absolutely think it's going to help them out. So then the last remaining factor...
$100
...is the $100.
Yep. And I think...
And how that affects people's pockets.
I think what you're going to see, though, is the Kinect is a really big deal... But they didn't really talk about it that much because the last year where they tried to make Kinect a big deal, no one cared, and the Star Wars Kinect sucked, and there's little kids playing with bouncing balls. No one cares. But I think Kinect is going to have a really big impact on the future of entertainment, and yes, maybe they should sell a pared-down version without it, at least at launch, and then give you the option to get it back, maybe. But, you know, I think this puts the console, the war back in console wars.
Sure, absolutely.
And, you know, I've pre-ordered my PS4, and I think I'm about to pre-order my Xbox One now that I don't feel so guilty about it.
Nice.
And we'll see. You'll hear more about it as time goes on.
I'll be interested in following the numbers because, again, in our microcosm of the world, we are at 6-2 right now.
Wow.
In favor of PlayStation.
Fair enough.
Again, that was prior to the announcement. So we'll see what changes, if anything, if some of those pre-orders flip-flop, maybe.
Yeah.
Which is a possibility.
It is true.
Or if some people, you know, make the decision that now they want both consoles, they think it might be worthwhile.
Yep.
It'll be interesting, certainly, as we get closer to the end of the year, right? These are both scheduled to come out this year?
I believe Microsoft said November, and I want to say Sony said holiday. So most likely we're talking about right around Thanksgiving because you want them out for Black Friday. Holiday always means October, November area. So you'll probably see them both launching within weeks of each other is my guess.
Okay.
This fall.
Sounds fun. Trailers. We kind of flip-flop things a little bit.
We did. We just got excited.
The
Microsoft
thing
just happened 3 hours ago.
It did. Right, exactly.
So, you know, we got to get that
in there. I was leaving my office and I sent you that. I was like, look what just hit.
Yeah, and when you sent it to me, it was a rumor and 5 minutes later it got confirmed.
Yeah, so there it is.
So I'm happy about that.
So trailers. Yes. There were a few that popped up over the past couple days.
Yeah.
I'm writing off the Riddick International trailer.
Yeah, it's the same. With subtitles.
Yeah, actually let's talk about this real quick.
Okay.
International.
Yep.
Trailer.
What's the point? I don't know.
Why? Everything is international at this point.
That's true. I guess subtitles or... I'm wondering if there was a specific instance where they cut a trailer for US.
Right.
And it didn't test well with like Australia or China.
Right.
And they said, let's add more of a different culture in it. Or let's cut this one line. And then from then on, they just decided to cut different longer versions. Or maybe they're more R-rated, red bandy. I don't know what
that has been the case. There have been trailers for specific countries where things have been either removed or added.
Like the Iron Man 3 movie.
Right. Yeah, actually, Wolverine. I think there was something in Wolverine that was added to that international trailer as well. And a couple of other things. But... And the subtitles thing, in the handful of international trailers that I've watched in recent history, there have been no subtitles.
No.
So I don't know what nation they're for, but clearly it's one that speaks English fluently.
Apparently.
I don't understand the point of labeling it as an international trailer or labeling everything as an international trailer. Just fucking release, especially because... Like, for example, the Riddick International trailer, I'm pretty positive. Is that Warner Brothers that has that?
Yeah.
I think it was on the Warner Brothers YouTube page or whatever it was. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
So at that point, is it really international? I don't know. It just seems like.
I really don't know why they did it. I can't answer that for you. But
so I'm writing that off.
If any of you know of a reason why international trailers exist, please let us know.
Sure. Give us a call at the GVM line.
Yes, yes, please do that at 425-920-6050 or tweet at us.
Yes.
I am Scapegoat GS.
And of course, I am Geekstuff OG and the show, although no one's actually using that account right now, it's a bit stagnant, at BK Geekstuff.
Yeah, but I am curious. But otherwise, but yeah. It's the same.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Yep.
Hulk and the Agents of Smash.
Yes.
So I watched the trailer for this.
So did I.
And I thought to myself, this is the biggest piece of animated garbage that I've seen in a long time.
And Marvel knows how to make animated garbage.
And then, and I expressed this, opinion of mine when I posted the trailer on the website and I put it on Twitter as well.
Yep.
And the response I got back from one of our loyal listeners, another Matt, by the way, was, you know what? But to an 8-year-old, it probably looks amazing.
It's a good point.
So, I find myself in this position often in that I sometimes forget who the audience is. I just assume that the audience is always for me.
Wow.
And it, but I mean, like,
you would be great for a focus group. Yeah. This show's about me. I know it.
But you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's kind of because I feel like I'm in this world, like right. This comic book geek world, yep. That anytime anything geek comes out, I feel like it's meant for me. And yeah. Clearly this is not meant for me. And this is meant for 8-year-olds.
I think DC, every animated DC thing I've seen, especially with the new releases that are just one-offs, right. They are. They're yes. Clearly like, yeah, your kid could watch it, but you really want to hold their hand while they're doing it. It's darker, it's deeper, the right. Creators care about it. But every Marvel thing I've seen is just like over the top, you know, for kids. Except, right. I just talked about this a couple minutes ago, Wolverine and the X-Men.
Yes.
Which I really like that show, and I'm kind of upset they canceled it. It got really dark and really good, and that's probably why Marvel didn't want it on the Disney Channel.
Yeah.
But you're right, the eight-year-old audience. And if it is for 8-year-olds, why is there so much violence?
Yeah.
Just pointing that out.
I don't know. It's that fine line of animated
it's
violence.
It's smashing things.
But you know what? As far as Marvel and Disney is concerned, yeah. I think Marvel has the platform to do something for Disney XD.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've... Well, are you a Tron fan? Yes, no, sort of.
The animated show?
Yeah, Tron Uprising.
I have not seen it.
It is awesome.
Is it?
And it is not dumbed down.
No?
And no, and it's... It's not violent only because, you know, in Tron, no one spills blood. You just de-res.
Right. It's like Pac-Man isn't violent, even though there's a lot of cannibalism.
Right.
Right. Exactly. No one cares.
So it doesn't translate.
Right.
But for an older audience, it's actually really, really well done.
Fair enough.
And if you like Tron and you like the mythos, it's really easily for an adult audience. Yep. So Marvel could do something for Disney XD.
Yeah.
I just think that they're trying to treat... I think they're trying to bring in or trying to guarantee a young audience for the future of the Marvel franchise as a whole. And I don't know that it's a bad idea.
Yeah, I see what you're
saying.
I
just hope that maybe they take a couple of risks and give something for the older fans.
You know, but this is why I think why DC series are so, I don't know if you can tell that I'm biased, so lauded and everything is, listen, Batman, the animated series and Batman Beyond and Justice League, for people, I mean, I have, you know, younger friends and older friends or whatever.
Right.
When these came out, people are rewatching them. They came out on Netflix. They're rewatching them now with appreciation of, there was some deep storytelling in there. There's some dumb jokes that you still laugh at, but there's some deep storytelling in there. And I don't think you're going to see that with any of these, the Marvel, at least a couple of these
shows.
Well,
certainly not the Agents of Smash.
No.
Certainly
it's
not
called
the
Agents of Smash.
Yeah, I know. And it's Hulk, Red Hulk, She-Hulk.
Yeah, I don't.
A-Bomb, who I don't even know who that is. And Scar.
Yeah, some guy with a sword who says.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know who A-Bomb is. The rest of them I know from Marvel. But but anyway, so that trailer was kind of a wash as well.
I agree.
Frozen. So I'm excited for Frozen. I've read the premise. I think it looks really good. But that teaser trailer is... to Frozen as that first Ice Age trailer that came out years ago was to Ice Age. You know, that little squirrel and the acorn?
It's just, here's the animation style.
That's
look,
it.
It's slapsticky and Disney.
Yeah, because the story is actually...
What is the story?
The story is actually about, like... It's actually kind of like a nature-driven story. Like, there's some evil witch... No surprise, it's a Disney movie. There's some evil witch, and she's kind of like... She's taken this forest and like... frozen it, and it's under some sort of spell, and obviously there's a heroine and a hero, and they have to break the spell and restore the forest. The story looks good. Some of the other images outside of the scope of that trailer look really interesting.
Yep.
That trailer just doesn't do anything as far as I'm concerned, other than, you know, maybe
hey, it's
interest
coming.
Some kids. Yeah, exactly. But it's not meant really for an older audience.
Yep.
Let's talk about The World's End.
Yes, The World's End.
They give away everything in the trailer.
They really do.
Which is stupid.
And it's been the same trailer. There was just little, I think it's the same edit anyway. It's just a couple, it's a minute extra reminding you how awesome they've been in past movies.
Right. But I mean, I'm still.
It's like the Stepford Wives, but with glowing stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know why that I'm looking forward to it. See, all right. I liked Spaced.
Yes.
So let's go all the way back. I liked Space.
Okay.
Nick Frost, Simon Pegg, right?
Yep.
And I liked Shaun of the Dead. Shaun of the Dead, brilliant.
Absolutely.
I hated Hot Fuzz.
Are you going to say Hot Fuzz?
I hated Hot Fuzz.
Well, how could you
have no interest in ever watching Hot Fuzz again.
Okay.
I did not like it.
All right.
I thought it was, to me, Hot Fuzz was...
British?
No, because I love BBC. Like, I watch BBC comedy all the time, like shit most people don't watch.
Coupling,
I watch. But like Black Books and like shit. Like I love BBC, right?
Right.
I like Simon Pegg. I'm down. I hated Hot Fuzz. So I'm torn. Like I like Shaun of the Dead. I hated Hot Fuzz. Am I gonna like World's End? I don't know.
We don't know.
I'm in the middle.
But you'll see it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Of course.
I mean,
there's no doubt.
It's gonna be fun no matter what. You're right. I don't know why I'm looking forward to it either.
Did you know that
it's a good trailer that it makes me want to see this for no reason?
Yeah. Yes. Did you know that these movies are referred to? I didn't know this until
trilogy.
Today. I knew that they were called a trilogy, but I didn't know why. Other than there was the same creative team behind them.
Sure.
Did you know that they're called the Cornetta trilogy?
I've heard the name. I don't know why.
Okay. Because Cornetta is a type of ice cream. Right?
Okay.
And there is one specific flavor featured in each film that kind of sets the tone or so in Shaun of the Dead it was strawberry. And the red was supposed to be visceral and violent and blood. And in Hot Fuzz, it was, I think, blueberry.
Okay.
And it was blue for the police.
Okay.
And and in this one, I think it's supposed to be green.
It's mint.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I think it's for the like alien element of it and that like supernaturally kind of.
Okay.
I had no idea that they were linked
that's
by
like
ice cream.
That's like a cute in joke.
Yeah, sure.
I respect that. Good job, Edgar Wright.
So So the trailer, the big trailer, but I'm saying the best trailer this week. The Lego movie,
right?
Fucking knew.
I knew that we knew they were making this.
We knew this,
but what were you going to do with Legos? You literally could build whatever you want out of it,
right?
See what I did there?
And like, so we were reading that, like, you know, it actually is minifigures, and like, I don't know why I didn't think they can do something good because all the other like Lego minifig movies, like stuff like that, and the games, they're all pretty cool. They look cool.
They're fun.
Stories are normally pretty fun. So, but for some reason, just the concept of like this generic. Unnamed minifigure and what he was gonna do, it just wasn't registering. And then I saw the fucking trailer and I was like, holy shit, it's kind of like Wreck-It Ralph but with Lego figures.
Yep.
And why I never thought that they would use licensed figures before, I don't know. I just assumed that the licensing may not carry over to the film.
I wondered that. Yeah.
But clearly you see...
You're wrong.
The Justice League is pretty much in there. This is going to be the first Justice League movie.
Oh, wow.
The Justice League
is
in there,
right?
It's
funny because it's true.
I saw Michelangelo from the Turtles is in the trailer.
Yep.
Everybody.
They name him out.
Someone from Lord of the Rings, I think.
It kind
of
looks like
well,
it,
right?
But I don't think.
And then, of course, a bunch of the generic like minifigures from these...
That you've seen
in like all these blind bag series.
Yep.
They're up to series 10 or 11 now.
I don't know.
Blind bags
a lot of them.
But yeah, it looks really fun.
It does. It does look fun.
Yeah. And the Wreck-It Ralph, the Wreck-It Ralph inference, because I said that to someone today and they looked like
I've seen
like
Wreck-It Ralph.
Grown
I actually saw it recently.
I use that reference because it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like a tongue-in-cheek grab at the Lego world. Like Wreck-It Ralph was a tongue-in-cheek grab at the video game world.
Yeah.
Where there are recognizable characters and recognizable archetypes. You know, there's like the Mass Effect girl.
That was what was cool about Wreck-It Ralph is they also had licensed characters that you didn't expect to show up.
Right.
Right. And so, I guess Lego has licenses for everything, but you're right. I don't know if it extends to movies or if they had to re-ink deals. But when you have a Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, Star Wars, and I don't know
Marvel,
what else.
DC.
Yeah, they have everybody.
Turtles,
they literally have every single.
They have Disney characters.
Uh-huh,
everybody.
Watch the trailer the first minute. I think it was written for people who were like, what the hell are they going to do with a Lego movie? And that's exactly what it's written for. It's like, wait, what are we doing here again? That's how it opens. It's just it's a really good way to wink nod at the audience and make you want to see it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm excited.
I don't know. Do I have anything else in the news? I do. Yes, actually I do. I'm sorry. What? Did you have something else?
You were going to say Justice League 3000?
Yes, Justice League 3000.
Yeah.
I don't get it. So Legion of Superheroes, for those of you who don't know, Legion of Superheroes, the book ended. Yep. Legion of Superheroes is kind of like...
I thought it ends August.
Or it's ending. I'm sorry. Okay. Right. But it's like, you know, it's like Justice League in the future, kind of.
31st century.
Yeah. Except I don't think it's actually... It's been a really long time since I've read Legion of Superheroes.
Yep.
I don't currently read it to you. You'll have to forgive me. I don't know who the characters in Legion of Superheroes are. I don't know if it's actually...
It's the Legion of Superheroes, you know.
Yeah.
No, they're separate characters for that.
Yeah, they're original characters. So this is replacing that book sort of in that it takes place sort of in the same period, but not really.
Well, it's the same. So I read actually Newsarama, I think, did an interview with the creators. What's the name of the creative team? They're very famous guys.
Keith Giffen gave us Lobo and a bunch of other stuff. Hold on. I have the names here somewhere in front of me.
Yep.
If you give me but a moment.
No problem.
Well, maybe I don't.
That's
I
good.
Stink. Yes, it is three guys.
It is Giffen. I have no idea how to pronounce that name. J.M. Can you help me out here?
I have no idea.
D-E-M-A-T-T-E-I-S.
Oh, Demetis?
Demetis, sure. I'm going to get yelled at for that.
In there as well, right?
Kevin Maguire.
Right.
I think that's it. But basically, they've worked together before. Their whole style is very known as Bwahaha, apparently.
Yes.
This is a thing. So they were talking about it, and it's Justice League in the future. Time travel is not involved. And you'll just have to trust them that it's going to be good. And even when you hear what it's about and you'll roll your eyes, trust them. They know it's going to be good. That's pretty much what we've heard from them. The designs are kind of cool. Yeah. I don't know why either.
Well, Batman is kind of like a cross between Christopher Nolan's Batman and Batman Beyond.
That's exactly what it looks like.
Superman looks a little like Forrest Gump with a cape. The Flash has some sort of do-rag on his face, and I'm not sure how it's going to stay on when he starts going fast.
Yeah, he looks like the character from Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
Or like Freakazoid. I don't know what's going on there.
And Green Lantern kind of looks like a cross between Green Lantern and the Spectre.
That's exactly what he looks like. Yeah.
So
he's like a Tron character with a cloak.
Oh, and Wonder Woman looks no different than Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Wonder Woman's pretty much just Wonder Woman. Just less blue. She's just red and yellow.
Yeah, right. There's like no significant design change to Wonder Woman at all.
No, except her lasso is a star. I don't know. Yeah. But it's coming out in October.
It is.
So it'll either be good or disaster.
But it
has nothing to do with Legion. It's original characters except for the Justice League. It doesn't involve time travel. And just trust them. I'm always nervous when creators tell me that.
Well, what if I don't want to trust them?
Then we'll find out in October.
All right. One more thing before we move on, because I want to move on from 3000 because it's silly.
Yes.
Amazing Spider-Man, number two.
Yeah.
So number two is currently filming.
And number three will almost be happening. Done.
Three and four have already been confirmed.
Four?
Three is for 2016. Four is 2018. They have dates already for them.
Four?
And then after the announcement was made, that three had been greenlit, now Mary Jane... Shailene Woodley, I think it is.
Sure.
Is no longer as Amazing Spider-Man 2.
I guess.
They pulled her from the movie and they're saving her for 3. Now, she was only supposed to have a cameo.
Right.
In 2. And it was like.
Post-credits.
It might have been post-credit or it might have been very.
She's like walking vague. In the background of the high school and they're like, hey, Mary Jane. Yeah. And then
actually, she full on interacted with Peter.
Okay.
But it wasn't anything drawn out. So. My thoughts on this, while it doesn't make sense in conjunction with traditional Spider-Man mythos, for the film, I think it makes sense. Because the assumption that we have right now, based on what we know from Spider-Man, based on what we've seen some of the set photos, Gwen Stacy is going to die in this movie.
Yeah, which sucks, because I like Emma Stone.
I like Emma Stone, too. I actually, in all honesty, I really think Emma Stone should have been Mary Jane, but that's neither here nor there.
You would have to wait to get to her. People wouldn't have saw the first...
I think you should have just skipped Gwen Stacy and went right to Mary Jane. But I understand.
Wow, you just pissed off a lot of Spider-Man fans.
I skip
Gwen Stacy during the origin story?
Look, I'm a longtime Spider-Man fan.
So you're allowed to say that?
No, I'm not allowed to say that, but I am allowed to have an opinion.
You are.
I think for the film universe, it's okay.
Okay.
And it worked really well. And even for the comic books, it really kind of worked okay with... it kind of worked okay in Ultimate Spider-Man. And here's the other thing that I'm going to say. If you're going to really do it, if you want to be really true to the mythos, and you don't want to skip Gwen Stacy, which also I'm okay with you not skipping Gwen Stacy if you do this other thing, don't fucking wait to bring Mary Jane in. She was around in the book.
Yeah, she
was. There was tension there.
There was tension.
There was this kind of tongue-in-cheek, you know, when are you going to marry the Watson girl kind of thing. Yep. And there was a period of, you know, Gwen Stacy and Mary Jane exist in the same world with Peter Parker sandwiched in the middle.
I mean, but you can also understand why in this movie, if they do that, they've just introduced like a teenage love triangle in the middle of whatever they're trying to do that's a little darker than, you know, the first.
If they had done it in the second movie, but if they had put her in the first movie.
Oh, you're saying, okay, establish it with her there.
Established her in the first movie.
You're right, you're right.
Even if she wasn't significant, even if she was just there, she interacts, but whatever it may be.
Fair enough.
Then
people would have been disappointed she wasn't involved more in the movie.
But then when Peter dies, when Gwen dies,
right,
MJ is there to console Peter.
Yep,
which makes sense.
Yes,
and it really brings together the whole MJ Peter relationship. It really is built on that kind of loss that they come together.
You're making sense.
So
you're making some sense.
Either do it all or you don't do it at all. You know what I mean? Like,
fair enough.
To me, it's whatever. But anyway, so she's not in the second movie.
Yep.
We hear that she's been pushed off to the third, although I heard another rumor just before I left work again today that maybe she's not even going to be in the third movie now. They're going to have to recast her because she's in like two or three other films.
Oh, you're talking
films.
About the actress.
Yeah, the actress. I'm sorry.
Okay, Mary Jane will be in the third one.
But maybe this different actress.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm not that set on this actress. She's in an ABC Family show. It's the only thing she's known for.
She looks all right.
She's in...
I don't think she's...
I think there's better casting out there.
Here's where I get the angry female listeners, and please feel free to berate me, because I know that you just stared at Henry Cavill with no shirt on, and all of you swooned over him, so I'm allowed to say what I'm going to say.
Okay.
I don't think, in my personal opinion, that she is Mary Jane quality, and take that for what it is.
Wow, you even euphemismed your offensive statement.
Yes, I did.
You do not think that she is attractive enough to be Bombshell Girl Next Door at the same time Mary Jane.
Bombshell Girl Next Door, soap opera star, runway model.
Yeah.
The awe of all the boys in the school and all the men in Manhattan.
Yeah.
I do not feel, in my personal opinion, that she has that quality.
Fair enough. Although runway models are ugly.
Some of them. Yeah. That being said, Kirsten Dunst and her six head was nowhere near attractive.
I don't like Kirsten Dunst at all.
Kirsten Dunst, again, I think I referred to her one time on this show as a foot in a red wig. That is how I think of Kirsten Dunst.
She is not my favorite.
No.
I don't like
her as an actress. I don't like her as...
Are there better Mary Janes? I don't even know.
What do you mean? Could there have been a
better... Yeah, like, who's a better actress?
Emma Stone would have made an awesome Mary Jane.
That's true.
I think that she has the right look. I think she looks great as a redhead. I also think that the girl from True Blood... Deborah Walling, whatever her name is. She is. Do you watch True Blood at all?
Unfortunately, I do, but I have not seen the
season. She is the tall, sexy as hell redhead that.
Deborah Walling Ferd?
Maybe. I don't know. But she's the one that becomes a vampire. She's dating Jason and then not dating Jason. But she was a waitress. She's a waitress at the what's his name's bar that Sookie works at. And then she becomes a vampire. Tall redhead. Shows up in her underwear a bunch in the show, but never naked.
Oh, the younger girl, Jessica.
Oh, is it Jessica? I'm sorry. Jessica something.
Yeah, I think it's Jessica.
Oh, Jessica on the show.
Yeah.
Right? But I don't know her. Her
I don't
name
know her
is,
real name either.
But her?
Yeah.
She, I think, could pull it off.
Maybe. Maybe.
I don't know.
You're just focusing on red hair.
Well, yeah. Well, you know,
they have this really cool thing called hair dye.
A natural redhead.
That's what I'm saying.
But anyway, needless to say, nonetheless, I think that's...
I gotta look into that more.
Yeah.
There's better casting out there, I'm sure.
I'm sure. I just don't... Maybe this girl would have been fine.
I would even like... Do you watch Suits?
I don't watch Suits.
I'm a fan of Suits. Rachel in Suits. Meghan Markle is her real name.
I don't know her.
She would be. She was in Fringe for a couple episodes, that kind of thing.
Okay.
I think she would be...
Oh, wait. Who was she in Fringe?
I have no idea. She was in like a couple episodes.
She wasn't on Lost also, was she?
No.
Oh, I hate that redhead. Did you watch Lost?
I do watch Lost.
The Irish Scottish Irish whatever.
Yeah.
I hate her.
She was in another movie too recently that I just saw.
And she was in Fringe, I think, for an episode too.
Yeah.
I hate her.
Yeah.
I hate her.
Yeah, you're not a fan. But you hate her on purpose. Rebecca Mader, is that her name?
Maybe. If I saw her face.
Rebecca Mader? I don't know.
But anyway, I think we've gone off far enough.
Yeah, we went far.
Let's refocus. Let's regroup. Let's take our first break.
Yep.
And we will come back with Big Kids Geek Stuff, episode 294, Redo.
Yep.
Hi, this is Jason Baldoff, and you're listening to Super Game Stuff with Coke Logic.
Ahoy, ahoy, and welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. Just a quick update to start this segment off. Last week, I couldn't lay it on thicker that I'm recording a big-ass, super-long, super-game stuff episode that you should all listen to. Which I did. And then my hard drive took a shit on it. All apologies for the delay, and I'll try to get the E3 Super Game Stuff episode out as quick as possible. They say strike while the iron's hot, but I might have to chip some icicles off of this one. Giant rumors abound from the video game website Giant Bomb. They posted an article reporting that an anonymous source is saying that Microsoft has changed their thinking about DRM for the Xbox One, as in completely eliminating the DRM from the next generation console. Giant Bomb is a very reliable source, which often will not report on rumors, though their track record is pretty good. The bullet points for the policy in the article read as follows. No more always online requirements. The console no longer has to check in every 24 hours. All game discs will work on Xbox One as they did on Xbox 360. An internet connection is only required when initially setting up the console. All downloaded games will function the same when online or offline. No additional restrictions on traded games or loaning games. And finally, region locks have been dropped. The article goes on to say, it's unclear what caused this huge change in policy right after E3. Are you kidding me? It was the consumer reaction. People hate these Microsoft policies and hate Microsoft for being such dicks, for telling us what we get and not asking us what we want. This Ghostbusters 2 level of hate has oozed to the surface. I myself have played on an Xbox 360 for the last 7 years, now with a PlayStation 4 on pre-order from Amazon. Microsoft drove me away. So is everything about to change? Most likely by the time you hear this podcast, Microsoft will had to address this megaton rumor. But at the time of this recording, it's still breaking news. So if true, what would this mean for Microsoft? Well, my first thought was, this complicates things. I already had my mind made up to buy a PlayStation 4. The number one reason why I could possibly change from Xbox brand to PlayStation was the ability to play used games and borrow games, or the freedom to just do whatever I want with a game I bought. Checking in every 24 hours or relying on a cloud system was simply a burden on the pile of DRM heap of shit. But if true, suddenly this almost evens the playing field. With all things being equal, this is now a matter of red versus blue, Coke versus Pepsi, and the Xbox controller versus the PlayStation 4 controller. The reason I say almost even is the rumor only seems to pertain to the DRM issue and does not address that the Kinect must always be connected to your system for the console to function, or that the PlayStation 4 comes in at $100 cheaper than the Xbox One. I can't state enough, this is still just a rumor. For updates about the Microsoft DRM issue, follow me on Twitter at CokeLogic, C-O-K-E-L-O-G-I-C. This is CokeLogic signing off for Game Stuff.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 294.
Redo.
There you go. See, I got it. You got it.
Look at that synergy.
Ah, I love it.
Good stuff.
Of course, don't forget one of our sponsors to the show, Suburban Final in Waldwick, New Jersey. This coming Friday, they have the Nervous Wreck Workshop from, I think it's from 1 to 4 p.m. in their store.
Sounds good.
For $40, you get a platform toy, you get some clay, some tools to use. Nervous Wreck himself will be there to kind of teach the class and do some stuff with you. And then on Saturday,
sounds good,
from 6 to 9 p.m., he has his first solo show over at the shop. So if you are in the local area, check it out. Go to Suburban Vinyl in Waldwick, New Jersey. Suburbanvinyl.blogspot.com, I think, is our website, but I'll post a link on the site for sure.
I think suburbanvinyl.com redirects.
Oh, does it redirect? Yeah. So then suburbanvinyl.com works for you as well.
Yep.
And if you're in New York, it is literally a block away from the train station. So you can get to this shop really easy in Waldwick. So check out Suburban Vinyl. Also, a lot of awesome pieces still for sale from that G.I. Joe show and the New Beginning show. So check them out.
Do it.
And with that, let's move into comics.
Woo!
Geek stuff, comics, books, right, and graphic
rather
novels.
Rather than rattle off a bunch of books that came out this week, because there's a couple. I mean, like Green Arrow came out this week. Red Hood and the Outlaws came out this week.
Wow, that's the first time ever you just glanced over Green Arrow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, look, even I recognize there's a time and a place.
Fair enough.
But what I wanted to talk about in this segment was actually Age of Ultron.
Okay.
Because it ended.
Tell me about it.
Today.
Let's do it.
And we got that Angela appearance that I have been waiting for.
Oh, right. Yeah, we talked about
that. And what her implication will be
in
the rest of the universe. So, spoiler alert, if you have not read Age of Ultron number 10 and you plan on it, skip a couple minutes.
All right.
as far as Angela's involvement in the book,
yep,
it was a throwaway. It was a post-credit spoiler.
Really?
It was the last panel of the issue.
Is there going to be more to come with Angela,
well,
you think?
Not in Age of Ultron, but we know that she appears in Guardians of the Galaxy in like a month.
Gotcha.
So I think that she is going to be fully entrenched in
Guardians of the Galaxy.
In Guardians of the Galaxy. Karen Gillan, she could play Mary Jane if she could get rid of the accent.
Good point. And Isla Fisher. That's who we decided.
Isla Fisher is who we decided on during the break. But anyway, so yeah. So Angela was kind of a throwaway.
Yes.
She had no actual impact on the story whatsoever. Zero. Nothing. She just was there.
And just some ribbons and...
Yes, and there were ribbons.
And non-clothing.
And non-clothing.
Good.
No, I mean, like, I guess she sort of has some sort of weird tie-in, but not really. As far as the entire Age of Ultron storyline goes, it was boring. There was a lot of build-up, right?
Yeah.
And then it just kind of fizzled.
I don't like that.
Like... You probably will never read it.
No, I won't.
No, okay.
So, like, especially after this Raven review.
Yeah. So the big thing is Raven that review. Obviously Ultron is, like, for those of you who don't know who Ultron is, I'm not going to give you an entire history on Ultron.
No,
Ultron was created by Hank Pym, artificial intelligent, meant to be like this next gen computer interface with humans. Eventually the AI goes crazy.
Yep.
Terminator ensues. Ultron takes over the world.
Ta-da.
Kills everybody. Age of Ultron.
Yep.
So part of...
That was impressive, by the way.
You like that?
Yeah.
In a nutshell, Age of Ultron.
Yep.
So a major plot point in the storyline is, in order to prevent Ultron from doing this, Wolverine gets the bright idea to travel back in time and kill Hank Pym. Okay. So that Hank Pym never creates Ultron.
Okay.
Right?
A little paradox action.
Right. So he does this and things just still go to shit. Just now Age of Ultron isn't there. So they go back again. And instead...
Wait. There's two episodes of time travel already?
Yeah, there, at one point in time, Wolverine is talking to Wolverine. So the whole paradox thing is thrown out the window. There is no such thing. And it's Wolverine and like... It's like Wolverine and like yellow and blue and Wolverine and like X-Men movie Wolverine outfit. Yeah, it's... But anyway. So instead what they do is they decide to go back and convince Hank Pym to build something into Ultron.
Yep.
So that all of the good that comes from him, technology-wise and history-wise,
right,
still happens. So the timeline isn't completely fucked. But right before he goes batshit crazy and kills everybody,
he self-destructs.
There's a doomsday button, right?
Okay.
And Pym isn't entirely convinced. But what happens is then somehow another version of future Pym, from the fucked up timeline from when Pym should have been killed but somehow isn't, goes back and tells Pym, or gives Pym some sort of code, right, to modify the virus to somehow make it work. And then right before Ultron goes batshit crazy, so we travel back to where before Age of Ultron 1 starts, right before Ultron goes batshit crazy, Hank Pym tells Tony Stark to do something. He executes this code. Ultron is trying to, like, essentially, it's kind of like introducing an antibody, and Ultron fights himself from the inside and blows up. All of this time travel nonsense breaks the time-space continuum. This is becoming a Doctor Who episode very fast.
Jesus.
And somehow, in the tear in the time-space continuum, Angela falls out like a turd. And it's just presented to us in the last panel.
Angela, the pretty redheaded turd.
Yeah, it's just, and that's it. That's it.
That's terrible.
It was awful.
That sounds like a bad Justice League episode.
Yeah, it was.
Except that there wasn't one. So yeah, that sounds awful.
It's anticlimactic. It's cliche.
If you see time travel more than once, just run away.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Why would you keep reading?
It's terrible.
Also, how do you convince someone, hey, your thing's going to go evil, make sure it doesn't? No. I think I should still make sure it goes evil.
Yeah.
What kind of argument is that?
Well, because Pym's argument was that, no, Pym had hubris.
Oh.
And he was convinced that he could prevent it.
Oh, so it was a character study, really.
Yes,
that's what we're talking about.
Mm. Pym was convinced that he could modify the original plan and somehow make it so that it's bullshit. And it's nonsense and it's detritus. And maybe the only good thing that comes out of it was a stupid, terrible plot point to give us Angela.
Yeah.
That's the only...
I don't know.
And I'm still not convinced that that's a good thing, mind you.
We'll find out.
But we'll find out in a couple of weeks.
So anyone who's listening who we said, spoiler alert, if you're going to read it and kept listening anyway, don't read it.
Don't read it.
You found out what happened.
Honestly.
Angelo poops out of the cosmic dust of the universe.
go to the Age of Ultron wiki page, read the Cliff's Notes, and you're done.
Great.
And then move on with the Marvel Universe.
Is the art even worth it? Is there anything redeeming about that?
The art isn't bad,
right.
But there's nothing about the art that is amazing.
Okay.
Does that, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I got you.
It's not terrible. I didn't hate it, but it's
nothing
not...
Nothing stands out. We're like, not that Jim was Lee, a breathtaking panel.
It's not Joe Madureira. It's, right. It's not, you know, it's not. It's just not. It's
no,
okay.
No t-shirts to be made.
No. No.
Gotcha.
So there it is. There's Age of Ultron in a nutshell. And that's our comic segment for tonight. Unless you have something you wanted to discuss.
No, I think you outshined everything right there.
So I hope you don't mind. We glossed over what books came out this week. But you know what? Maybe something I want to introduce, I think, going forward.
Let's do it.
On this show.
Yep.
I want you from now on to let us know what books you picked up.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right? And why you like them or dislike them.
Yes.
Even if it's a book that you think me and Kev read or Scapegoat reads and we talk about on the show, let us know either through email, Twitter, Facebook,
whatever you
GBM,
do.
Whatever. Let us know what books you're reading, why you like them, why you hate them, recommendations. And I want the comic segment to become a little bit more interactive.
I agree. And if you think we hate the book, tell us why you don't.
Yeah, that's fair. If you love Age of Ultron and you think that everything that I just said was hullabaloo and malarkey
and hogwash,
then tell me why.
Yeah,
but you better have a damn good argument. Because
take some time, get some notes. You want to have that supporting evidence.
That's right.
When you bring up your, don't just say because I liked it.
Right.
Non-acceptable answers.
And I can promise from you.
Yep.
No one else. I don't speak on anybody else's behalf on the show.
Sure.
But I can promise from you that I will listen with an open mind.
I will also listen with an open mind. And I will even read it if you convince me it's good enough.
There you go. Fair enough.
I will go pick it up from retailer Y.
Fantastic.
And I will we'll check it out.
And you will check it out. All right, let's move forward.
Let's do it.
Geek stuff, product reviews.
I was going to talk about Dunnies this week because they came out.
Yeah.
And while there are certainly some awesome designs in there, I don't think there's anything really I could add to it other than what we kind of talked about last week. We've seen all the designs.
Yes.
The designs translated really nice to actual form. Versus the the drawings and stuff that we had seen, but
so basically concept art matches. Oh yeah, that looks exactly like a character from Samurai Jack. Actually,
yeah, I mean they're awesome.
Did you ever watch Samurai Jack? By the way,
I did watch Samurai. That's
exactly
Samurai
like
Jack.
A character from Samurai Jack.
The one he's talking about, of course, is the Argyle Warrior by Scott Tolles. It's actually one of my favorite pieces.
It's a good one
in the series, and I love Scott's work.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, Scott's APs for the Argyle Warrior go on sale Friday at noon Pacific time, I think.
Which is 3 p.m.
Yeah, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard. It is you get a signed figure, a print, a button, and Argyle Warrior, it's the chieftain. He comes with some different accessories.
There you go.
Different necklace to kind of signify him. Cool. So check that out. But in this segment, I think what I wanted to do instead was maybe highlight
San Diego.
A handful of San Diego exclusives that have been starting to pop up.
Mecca's coming.
Yeah, Mecca is coming, although I don't go anymore to pray at the wall.
No. I would go. Also, I think you just mix
like three different metaphors, religions, but I don't care. Whatever. It's all the same. All
right.
Isn't it?
Pretty much.
So, a couple of things.
What do we got?
From Dark Horse,
mm-hmm.
The Hellboy mini key that they have coming out is a 5-inch key platform toy.
Okay.
It's cool. I don't like characters. I don't like toys that come out with characters in San Diego Comic-Con shirts. This has been a thing that other companies have done in the past.
Yeah.
This is Hellboy in a San Diego shirt.
I see.
Like, I don't need that.
Yeah, and it's like a weird chibi vinyl design.
Yeah,
I don't
mind the design.
It's cool. I don't understand why I'm wearing the Comic-Con
shirt. But the shirt, I don't
get
care
it.
For
Do
it.
You think like Comic-Con sponsors it if they make it wear Comic-Con? Because it's like advertising in a way?
I don't think Comic-Con sponsors it. I think maybe it just... What I honestly think is that this figure is going to come out later in the year. Because they have a line of these Hellboys figure coming out later in the year.
Yeah.
And it's going to come out without that shirt. It'll probably come out in something more Hellboy
I would rather get that.
Right. But I think what they think
Hellboy
is
doesn't
that,
wear t-shirts.
No. Well, it's kind of a form-fitting black solid shirt in the movie, isn't it? With a vest thing over it.
Fair enough.
But needless to say,
yeah.
I think what they think, and it's look, it sounds logic to some people. This is clearly a variant. Some people will want it based on that alone.
Yes,
and it
true.
Will sell.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want that, check it out. It's going to go for $20, which actually is a pretty good price for a San Diego exclusive.
Yeah, they like to rip people off.
Yeah, yeah. And it's limited to 350 pieces. And it's only two per person. Now, I'm not sure how they're going to do that, whether it's going to be a sticker or a hole punch on your badge. I know that's how Hasbro does it.
Usually what happens is you walk around, you get a fake mustache, you come back, you get two more.
Yeah.
Then you put them on eBay.
Well, Hasbro now punches your badge.
That's smart.
So there is no fake mustache.
So you just save those, go into the bathroom, hot glue gun.
Yeah, yeah. So, but the other thing, one of the other things coming out from Dark Horse that I thought was kind of cool, even though I'm not a fan.
Yep.
I shouldn't say that I'm not a fan, but I've never played, is the Normandy Mass Effect Bronze SR-1 ship replica. This is also limited to 300 pieces. It's going to be $50.
That's really
also
cool.
Two per person. It's 6.5 inches long. Comes on a pretty cool looking base. I like this just for the aesthetic value. I like ships. I like spaceships. And
yeah, I like a lot of Mass Effect designs.
Right.
Shout out to BioWare and all their good stuff. The picture on the site makes it look super small, but it's around 7 inches. You said,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So it's, you know,
it's good size.
Yeah, it's not a bad
good size for your collection.
Here's a point of reference.
Yeah.
If you have or have seen the Firefly. And I'm not playing it, because I hate that bit. If you have or have not seen the Serenity replica ships that Dark Horse put out years ago, the ornament ones,
okay,
it's the same scale.
That's a good scale.
So if you know those or you have those,
good scale.
It's the same ones.
I like that scale.
This is, we'll talk about that next week because that's not San Diego. It's not San Diego either. That is San Diego. Okay. From Scott Tolleson, something we just talked about. We talked about his Dunny a minute ago.
Okay.
He's got a piece coming out. It's at the 3D Retro booth. This is also going to be for $50. I don't know how many pieces it's limited to, but this is a 5-inch tall vinyl figure based on Scott's design, Bitacrita. This is a print that he's had for a while. It appeared on some of his, he put out like a bunch of wallets a couple years ago and they it was on there as well. But this is the first time it's actually coming out in toy form. If you're a fan of his art, it's actually a really nice translation of it. If you're not, clearly you're not, but I like it. I think $50 is that fine line. I personally think $50 is expensive for a 5-inch piece.
So do I.
But again, I know that it's limited. This is not a major company making these, you know.
And so hopefully the money's going to the right people.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the case. You know, when you question the price point on a lot of these figures, you have to think this is not Mattel or Hasbro or even Dark Horse to a certain degree,
right,
making these mass products. This is one small company, one small artist designing a product. They have someone sculpt it here. They send it to a factory and the factory says it's, you know what I mean? And it's limited
that
to
indie
the number
level
of pieces.
Stuff, right. You know what I mean? So if you want them to keep making stuff, support the stuff they're making.
Right.
You know what I mean?
If you're not making 1,000 Wolverine figures, they're not going to cost $5 a figure.
Exactly. And they're not going to look like crap.
Right.
So quality stuff.
So yeah, I actually really like that piece. Something else coming out from 3D Retro.
Yeah.
That I wanted to mention. This is the Mouseketeer Army.
Mouseketeer Army. Yeah.
So
okay.
I'm going to read you some flavor text.
Please.
This is based on artist Bob Dobbs' Mouseketeer Army Will figure. This is the figure that's coming out. This is going to be $70, by the way, this figure. But this is limited to 250 pieces, 6 inches tall. But here's a little bit
that
of flavor.
Extra inch is $20.
Yeah. on August 6, 1970, the war between the Radical Youth International Party, a.k.a. the Yippies, invaded Disneyland as a way to rebel and protest against the establishment. They were successful in taking over Tom Sawyer's Island for a smoke-in, taunted guests with their chants of anarchy, and attempted to raise their flag at City Hall. Mickey Mouse and friends were under attack. But from this event rose the Mouseketeer Army. They battled back to defeat the oppressive ideologies of the Yippies, whose only objective was for Disneyland to cease to exist. The Mouseketeer Army is the last hope to preserve the Magic Kingdom.
So it's like Weather Underground Disney style?
Yeah, it's kind of like a kid, right? Yeah. He's wearing a beat-up, battle-damaged Mickey hat.
Mickey ears, yeah.
Yeah, and he's wearing like a pair of like shit-kicker boots. And he has a baseball bat.
It's really interesting, actually.
And there was a teaser image for some figures coming in the future. So, like, you know, there's like another guy with a broken bottle and a spiked mohawk. There's a kid with a shotgun.
Yeah, this is a really interesting set.
Yeah, you know, it's first of all, I'm a Disney fan in general, right?
Yeah.
But just the concept that, like, the flavor text behind it and the story behind it, to me, is like really intriguing and really interesting. And what I hope is that these are successful, right? The first four figures are successful. The first, of course, which I like just said, is available at San Diego. But I want to see the Yippies. I want to see them do these. And then
what
the
happened?
Yippies,
they should make like a little cartoon going with it. You know what I mean? Wouldn't that be cool? Something? Yeah.
Yeah. So
you get like everyone comes with an unlock code and you get like a little two minute.
Yeah, right.
Flip of your character.
Kickstarter campaign.
Yep.
So definitely.
Oh, are we starting a podcast and we need a Kickstarter for it?
Fucking assholes. anyway, so check these out over at 3D Retro if you're going to San Diego. Booth 5049 and 5051. They have two booths this year right next to each other.
That's impressive.
Also, just to put this out there, I am looking for a mule this year. So
yeah.
If you're going to San Diego and are willing to pick me up some things.
Yep. See, they do two per person. One of those could be ours.
That's right. So hit me up. I'm looking for a mule.
Wow.
It's
the only time you're able to say that and not
and
be arrested for it.
For drug smuggling.
It's great.
Absolutely.
I thought we were just traveling across the Serengeti.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Coming from Gentle Giant. Gentle Giant continuing its... Kenner restyled jumbo Star Wars figures.
Okay.
So this is, they have the original Kenner figures. They have the molds from the original figures and they're redoing these in these ginormo huge, they actually come on like cards.
That's pretty cool.
Figures.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
This is Jumbo Hoff. So he is, again, based on the 3 3/4 figure.
They have it next to the original size one, you see that?
Yeah. The real size, a little bit. So this is going to be at San Diego this year for them. Gentle Giant also has an awesome looking Galactic bust coming out, and there was something else really cool that I saw. By the way, as a quick aside, all of these things that I'm talking about right now are actually already over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
Read in more detail.
Yeah, so if you're following the post over there, you've seen some of these things already, and I'm posting stuff daily. So check it out. And
I am posting things as much as I can post things.
You got one thing up there.
I did a couple, so you'll see more.
So yeah, definitely check out the site. And again, check out Gentle Giant. Gentle Giant puts out some really awesome stuff. I think there was one other thing that I wanted to mention, and that was not it.
Nope.
Oh, you know what? I don't know that this is San Diego or not, but I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant just for 2 seconds.
Sure.
Biff Bang Pow.
Thing
is a company that is kind of like, I don't know if they're now the action figure branch of Entertainment Earth or their own company, but do everything through Entertainment Earth. But Biff Bang Pow used to put out cool action figures.
Okay.
They put out some really good Flash Gordon action figures.
Okay.
But now everything they do is Mego style. You know
right.
Mego?
Yeah,
Mego style? Everything they do is Mego style. Today they announced, and I don't know if this is for San Diego or not, but Mego style Doctor Who figures. Can we stop with Mego style? There's a reason that Mego doesn't do figures anymore. There is nostalgia to owning vintage Mego pieces. I own a Mego Green Arrow.
Yes.
I love my Mego Green Arrow.
I knew Green Arrow was going to come back.
But I don't need new toys to come out Mego style. Mego?
You're right.
And I know that this is going to upset some people. Mego is a shitty toy platform. It's garbage. They never look good. They don't. They're dumb and they're expensive. Stop making Mego. Those Django and Chain toys that were also Mego style toys.
Yeah.
They were shite.
Yeah.
Stop making Mego toys.
Well, as you said, they're expensive and they're clearly people are buying them. So stop buying them.
Stop buying them.
If you
do
know
us all a favor.
No more.
All right. This is the last thing I'm going to talk about.
All right.
But this could be the coolest thing that I've seen come out of San Diego this year.
Go on.
NES. You had an NES console, I'm assuming.
Of course I did.
I don't know how many years younger than... You're not that... You're like almost my age, right? Or we're pretty close, I think.
Sure,
right?
Yeah. I am a big fan of the NES.
Okay. Friday the 13th?
I've heard of it.
You've played... Do you remember the game for the NES?
I don't think I played it.
No?
No.
All right. So the game was... I don't think you could actually beat the game. The game was kind of like a generic...
Like
Yeah, it was a generic overlay map.
Okay.
It was Camp Crystal Lake.
Yep.
And it was a bunch of cabins.
Yep.
And I think you can run into bad guys while walking around the lake. But the real baddies were you would go inside a cabin and you would have to like find some stuff in the cabin. And like you would fight somebody in the cabin. And I don't think you could ever defeat Jason. I think if Now, I'm a little shady on my recollection, but if you got into a cabin and Jason happened to be in that cabin, and it was random.
You're dead.
If it happened at any time, you died. That was it. The game just ended. And the kill screen was you and your friends are dead. Game over. And that was it.
Wow.
So now NECA is producing NES Friday the 13th figure.
That is awesome. See, when we were talking, you were talking about retro-ness, right? And respecting it. This is cool retro.
But it's not Mego. He's articulated and he's plastic.
You're right. And it comes in. Oh, wow. The box itself is awesome.
The box is what sells it.
Yeah.
Because the figure itself is cool. It's that kind of color scheme from the game.
Yep. Because you can only do like 8-bit colors. 8-bit
color scheme, right? And he glows in the dark, by the way. The mask glows.
Oh, perfect.
And I think the mask glows, the hand glows.
Feet? And it looks like the feet, I think.
But the box, the window box. Oh, I guess you could fight Jason because Jason has a life bar on the box.
Yes, we're trusting the box.
Yeah, I just noticed it. Yeah. So the box is actually like the game screen, right? So it has NECA is the playable character with his life bar.
Yep.
The number of lives, your weapon, which I think looks like the torch in this particular one. Right. And then Jason's life bar. And then the panel of the box that opens up is the kill screen. And your friends are dead.
That's great.
Game over. This is epic in so many ways.
I'm actually kind of excited now.
Yeah. So if you were a fan of this game or Friday the 13th in general, you definitely want to get anything.
This is cool.
Yeah. So definitely check that out. And we'll have more.
It's the machete.
He has an axe though too, I believe.
I don't know.
I see an axe in the window package, but I see a machete in the glow in the dark image.
Maybe there's going to be different ones. There's
different ones.
Yeah.
But continue to go to the website. We'll have some more. Obviously, there's a ton of San Diego stuff that I've missed because everybody's got... Monogram has some sort of shitty paperweight bust that I saw. Everybody's got something.
Yep.
But we'll try to highlight at least a handful of them for you going forward up until the point of the middle of July.
Any of those you see on the site, feel free to bring them back. As we said, looking for mules.
Looking for mules.
How else are you going to review something unless you can hold it?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think since we're at an hour and a half,
wow,
we are foregoing the wrap up because I also hate the wrap up.
I don't disagree with you. Look at that. You're going to get no pushback on not doing a wrap up.
Wrap up, most pointless part of the show. Most pointless.
If you
part
can't
of the
remember
show.
What you listened to an hour and a half ago,
exactly.
Yeah.
You know, we have the vote now. We need to bring this up to a vote. 2-1.
Yeah.
I think we can win.
I think we can win.
But we cannot end the show.
This time on the episode, we wrapped up our wrap-up by wrapping up. Yeah, no.
Yeah, no. But we cannot end the show without, of course, at least mentioning briefly Superpower Collectibles sponsored the show.
Indeed.
Check out superpowercollectibles.com for
everything.
All. Everything. All.
Absolutely everything.
Plethora. Myriad.
Veritable cornucopia.
There you go.
We're back in.
Comic books, toys, action figures. And, of course, there's a coupon code.
There is a coupon code.
It is Big Kev. Gets you $10 off purchase of $50 or more.
Yep.
Free shipping off of select orders.
Most stuff.
Over $99 or more. And was it $1,000 or more?
$1,000 or more, you get me.
There you go. A date with scapegoat.
Yep.
So check out superpowercollectibles.com. Buy something and, enjoy.
Yep.
Everybody wins.
Indeed.
Don't forget, you can check us out online over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
Yes.
Of course, over at Facebook, Facebook.com/BKGeekStuff. Subscribe to us in iTunes.
Yes, please
leave us
do.
A review.
Yeah.
Search Geek Stuff in the iTunes music store.
4 or 5 stars.
4 or 5 stars. Oh, people out there who do podcasts who are much smarter than me. Yeah. If you can figure out why our image is no longer appearing in the iTunes music store, I can't figure it out. It exists in the RSS feed.
It exists on the app, too.
Yeah, it just on iTunes, on the desktop version, it does not exist.
I don't know.
I don't know why.
Oh, Apple.
So if you could tell me why, you'll get a prize.
You will get a prize. Where else can you reach us? Twitter?
At GeekStuffOG.
Of course, ScapegoatGS.
And maybe we'll get Kev. No, we won't. At BK Geek Stuff for that.
And the last way to reach out
is the GVM line.
Of course it is. 425-920-6050. Leave us a question, remark, comment, other stuff, things you want to hear us talk about, things you want to hear us not talk about. We'll probably ignore that part. We want to hear from you guys.
That's it.
Yep.
And we will end tonight's episode the way we end all episodes, Scapegoat, by saying good night, Big Kev, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.